Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rui from Mississippi State University, and today I would like to introduce our work as an ongoing project towards model-based management of database fragmentation. This work is collaborated with people in Qatar University, so I represent my colleagues, Asim, Dr. Abdelkarim, Dr. Rashid, and my advisor, Dr. Shri. Okay, the outline of my presentation is, first I will introduce the basics and the background of the disk fragmentation problem, and then I will introduce the model-based control framework. Especially, I will give more details about the control approach in the third section, and then a case study will show some of the partial results, and my presentation will conclude in the last section. Okay, the database fragmentation problem derives from the widely utilized databases, which are a very basic and important part of any enterprise computing systems, such as the social networks, online trading, and e-banking, and so on. The database usually has the index, the clustered indexes, which is allocated in a sorted order, which is for the purpose of efficient data access. But with the large number of random insert of data, this database will gradually become fragmented. Usually, the fragmentation can be categorized into internal and external. In this graph, both of the cases are illustrated. Each of the blocks in the graph is a page in the database, and the blue bar means the data utilization portion of the data. The internal fragmentation means the page, the block, is created before any existing block is fully utilized, like those blue bars are not at the top of the blocks. And in this way, we have to consume more space to store data. And the second category is external fragmentation, which is caused by the insertion of new data in between the already sorted indexes, so that the sequential indexes are splitted and the order is missed. So we will have to spend more time to seek the data we want. Both of the cases will induce the degradation of the system if it grows continuously without any solution. For example, the fragmentation will induce the increased resource usage, for example, the CPU usage, memory usage, disk I/O, and also a lot of degradation of quality of service, for example, the response time, throughput, and availability. Also, finally, those drawbacks will turn to a financial penalty, which is kind of revenue loss. This is not acceptable by enterprises. This graph shows an illustration of the throughput decrease when the fragmentation level increases. There are four curves, and from top to bottom, the fragmentation level grows up. And we can see that the x-axis is the arrival rate, and the y-axis is the throughput. And obviously, the more the fragmentation is, the throughput saturates and stops growing up. Traditionally, there are a lot of methods dealing with the fragmentation problems. They usually depend on human expertise. They use some rules of thumb, which decide which index and which time to do the defragmentation. And also, it does not consider the impact during the defragmentation in terms of the quality of service. And also, they potentially has a suboptimal decision. For example, if we are going to make a decision to defragment, but actually, the quality of service is not severely influenced. So maybe at this time, it's okay to just keep the system there without any steps going on. A model-based approach has the benefits of an autonomous controller which can be without any human intervention, and the model-based decision can be used to predict the future of the system. And also it considers the impact before, during, and after the defragmentation. The decision is optimal because a trade-off is made between the cost of the defragmentation and the cost on the quality of service. Given this problem and the comparison between the model-based and conventional methods, our motivation is to create a fragmentation management framework which has the benefits of the model-based method, and it can deal with the dynamic service level agreements online, and it provides for fragmentation detection methods, and also it optimizes the performance. The system is controlled by an autonomic controller which should follow the self stars in the autonomic computing context. Okay, so let me introduce this framework. This graph shows how our framework looks like. It has four major components. The first, the environment, which has basically anything outside of the system. But in the experiment specifically, we have the simulation of workload in the environment, and the lambda is workload. And the management system is the second major component, which is actually the physical server, has a sensor interface and actuator interface. The system parameters is observed and sent to the third component, which is the fault detection and diagnosis module, which gives the patterns of the fault. In this example, the database fragmentation. And all those information are synthesized and sent to the controller, which will give the final decision and send the control signal back to the actuator interface, including the reaction action, recovery actions, and the management actions. In the framework, the workload is created by changing the arrival rate. There are two kinds of parameters can be changed of a workload. One is the arrival rate, the other is the composition. For the disk or the database fragmentation problem, the composition is also very important. The composition means the ratio of read, write, and update. This severely influences the performance of the database. It will be discussed in the future work part. And the fault variations have that means the different levels of the fragmentation. Oops. Different levels of fragmentation. The level of fragmentation is defined as the total size of the database divided by the number of rows of the tables. We monitor a lot of parameters, the CPU usage, memory usage, but for the formulation of our problem, we use the throughput and the response time to calculate the cost of a given situation. The data analysis using curve fitting tools, for example, the regression analysis. The model is created basically based on the historical data of the system. However, our system is not a commercial system or a scientific computing center, so we do not have a bunch of historical data. So we use simulation to create the data by randomly insert data into the database. And we create the relationship between the resource usage, the fault level, and the quality of service parameters by using the data analysis tools to create functions of the system. Specifically, the workload is created based on the OLTP, which is online transaction processing configurations. And the performance is measured based on the read operations, because only the read operation is the most sensitive to the fragmentation instead of write. So we use it to simplify the system. A fragmentation injection script is written to add fragmentation to the system. The fragmentation is detected by compare the signature of the fault. We have a set point of performance, and we have an expected performance according to the model, and a threshold is set to give the difference. The magnitude of deviation can be defined as fault intensity. Given this framework, we have designed an approach to deal with the fragmentation. The available control options include the management actions and the recovery actions. The management actions usually used to optimize the performance, while the recovery actions is used to recover the system back to normal from fragmentation. In the management actions, we have different buffer sizes used by the database to change. And the recovery action includes the offline database rebuilding and the online reorganization. But the question is, which criteria should be used to select the most optimal control option? We can see that each control option has its benefit and drawbacks. For example, for the management actions, we have the benefit when the buffer is bigger, the I/O delay will be less. And meanwhile, the bigger buffer means more resource usage and will cause potentially a resource shortage. The same thing happened in the recovery actions. For example, offline rebuilding is fast, but it has a service blackout. And the online reorganization is service available, but it's very slow. We can see that there is a trade-off between the benefits and drawbacks. This is the structure of the controller, which is the center of it is the system model, which is the core of a model-based system. And the controller takes benefits from the system model and predict the future system states, and calculate the utility cost of the system state and the control actions. By comparing the utility cost, we can select the best control input with the minimum cost. The utility cost model is essentially used to quantify the drawbacks and the benefits of a control action. And also, it evaluates the system performance in terms of quality of service and SLA violation. The recovery action and the management actions are treated separately, which will be showed in the next slide. This is the utility function for the management actions, which has two parts, the cost during the management and the cost after management. Our predictive control method will expand the system state to a given future horizon. And each of the state actually include the management process and one step ahead of the management process. And in this formula, we evaluate the cost according to the percentage change of the key parameters, for example, the response time and the throughput.
RMX is the response time during the execution, and the R star is the set point. And the same concept for the throughput. Also, for the cost after the management, we have the estimated response time and the estimated throughput. The idea of this utility cost function is that we want to know how much it would cost during it and what benefit can it take after it. For the recovery action, is kind of different from the management action because we are dealing with a predictive control problem, and we expand the system to a future state. For the recovery, we expand the system to a future state so that we have as much as steps that we're interested in. For example, if the system is at a peak hours, we may consider a very short period because we want immediate action. And if the system is at normal conditions, we may extend the horizon to a much longer extension. So in this formula, we have only the cost of the recovery action in terms of percentage change of the response time and throughput. The idea of the predictive control is to expand the system state by enumerating all the available control inputs. This graph shows how we select the best recovery action. The black circle means this is the faulty state, and the white circle means it's normal. We can see that given a horizon, for example, 4, which means 4 sampling intervals, actually, the horizon will be much longer than that. And some of the paths ended up with still a faulty state, and some of the paths has a normal state in the end, which means the system is fully recovered. Each of the paths has a cost associated, which can be calculated by this function. And W here is the weight of a given recovery action. And the N is actually the number of horizons we use. And this is the average utility cost during this path. By selecting the path with the minimum cost, we can have the recovery action. And for the management problem, we can similarly create this tree-like system state expansion, and we can use that first formula to minimize the total cost along a path to calculate the minimum cost. Okay, given this idea of control, we have some partial result of our system. The system is based on a workload generator and MySQL server, and the workload is created and sent to the server, which will be controlled and monitored by the monitoring server. This graph shows some of the change of response time and throughput. The fault level will increase along the x-axis, and the vertically we have the throughput per minute and the millisecond as the response time. We can see that the system performance will be influenced by the fault level. And this is used by doing such kind of series of experiment. We can have enough data, such like in this table, to create the relationship between the input and output, which can be the fault level and the average response time or throughput. This is a example system formula can be generated by the linear regression. This is simple and straightforward, but it can be used as an illustration of our ideas, like we use the data in the previous slides, and we can create a system model based on that. And the system parameters can be estimated by doing such kind of model calculation. Well, for conclusion, we have developed a system model which can be used for the fragmentation management. And the detection method is provided to give the level of the fragmentation. Actually, our work is not a substitution of existing fault management, existing database fragmentation solutions or detection methods. Our framework is like a extra platform which can be used to apply the existing fragmentation methods. For example, we have existing methods based on based on which index should we use to defragment and so on. Those methods can still be used during the recovery process as a single recovery action. Our system is actually a model-based framework which can be applied to solve the database fragmentation problem. It considers both the impact of the defragmentation actions and the system quality of service. A trade-off is made between them. As an ongoing project, we have some future work to do with it. For example, we will have the variation of workload composition. Like I said previously, we will change the portion of read and write and create more complex workload according to the real world systems. And more recovery actions and management actions will be tested on this framework to validate our method. Also, we will apply our system to a distributed database system. As Dr. Abdel-Hazer said in the keynote, the single optimal solution does not necessarily mean the composition of a global optimal solution. So the challenge still exists in the disk defragmentation problem. So more research should be made to how to use the existing methods or the predictive feedback control systems to expand to a distributed system. And okay, this is my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. We do have time for questions.
Yes.
So in the cost function or utility, were you considering video parts like the deviations, but no, was it the absolute value or the just the linear with the sign or no productive cost and so on?
Okay, in the cost function here.
Yeah.
Mm. Like this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, the cost function is based on the estimated value and the set point. Here, the set point can be some rules guided by the service level agreement, or the set point can be made by historical knowledge, like at this current situation, which value of throughput and the response time is an acceptable value for the system. So this value can be used as a set point. Any deviation from the set point can be used as error and feedback to the system and calculate the minimum cost of the utility. So actually here, the feedback control problem is converted to a optimization problem, like here.
our objective is to minimize those sum up of the utility cost values. And also we can apply some of the multi-optimization methods, such as Pareto optimization, and to deal with the, even if the system is more complex, we can use that to optimize those multiple objectives.
I was more concerned about the sign here, as it's an annotation, and you have the possibility to get both positive and negative values in the cost functions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I had a question on this one, about this prediction horizon. And so you have this tree-like structure on which you do an optimization.
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessarily a tree, or or could it be a graph with future situations in the branches which would be the same?
Actually, yes, it can be a graph for the management actions, because it changes from a given, for example, buffer size to another buffer size. Mm-hmm. So given a start point, mm-hmm. we can go to a very complex directions, and maybe in the end we can form a graph. Mm-hmm. But for the recovery actions, issue of the past means what happened during a recovery action. So we assume that given a recovery action, there will be no other recovery actions inserted during that. So it will be a tree.
Okay. Any other questions? No? So thank you again.
Thank you.